Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Chrissy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Game of Thrones Season 4, Episode 1, Two Swords, and Game of Thrones Season 4, Episode 2, The Lion and the Rose.
Yep, we are. And I can't believe we're in Season 4, which is exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of thrilled about that. We are going to have our usual it is disclaimers today. And those include that there's going to be cursing, there will be spoilers, because I can't help myself, and we're having things to drink. Natalie is home today, so what are we having to drink, Natalie?
I am having Rosa Regale wine, which is a dessert wine, which is really good.
Yeah, it is a fabulous dessert wine from Italy. I think it's the Brachetta grape. It's really, really, really tasty.
I just know it's good.
Goes with chocolate, berries, whatever, if you are into that stuff. And it has this lovely ruby red color. So yeah, that is great stuff. And stuff we like to have around the house a good bit at the holidays. I am having something called a Sun Also Rises cocktail. And I've had this before on the show. I chose it for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's purple. It has creme de violette over a sugar cube and Prosecco on top of it. I add some of that sparkly dust that we had used during Harry Potter stuff, just to make it a little more exciting, but it didn't really show up well in the pictures, and I'm kind of disappointed about that. But I also chose it because it is a variation on a cocktail called Death in the Afternoon, which has absinthe, and I'm not an absinthe drinker, and is also green. I wanted something purple, so here we are. But that's pretty much why we're having what we're having. Very excited to have Natalie home. What are our sections for Two Swords?
Our sections are King's Landing, which is a majority of the episode, Night's Watch, Road, Marine, and Wildling Camp. Where do you want to start?
Not King's Landing, that's for sure.
No, that's going to be the last one.
Yeah, for sure. I am thinking
Night's Watch.
I was actually thinking Wildling Camp, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can do Wildling Camp. Ygritte is making her own arrows in anger. and then Tormund comes up and he's like, well, that sucks for you that he betrayed you. And she says, yeah, well, when I see him again or something, I'm going to put an arrow in his heart or something along those lines. And he's like, wait, he got away. So you let him get away. I know you, you have better aim than that. Yeah. Even though you put three arrows in him, you weren't really trying, were you? And she's like, well, no, but I'm going to try next time. And then the Fens show up.
They're creepy as fuck, by the way.
They're cannibalistic. They show up, and they're basically the reinforcements that Mance has sent.
The way they appear, and I think this is important, is that they are basically skinheads, but they have scars on their heads in these interesting patterns, apparently.
A swastika.
Yeah. they look scary as all get up, but they get there. I'm sorry, you were talking. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Just reinforcements from me on the wall to help them attack Castle Black in case there are 1,000 men, like John said, and also because John killed so many of their men on his way out. So they really needed them to be reinforcements. And they were also concerned that they wouldn't come, and they also came from a village nearby and picked up some food, aka a human arm, and that's disgusting. So we aren't rooting for them, obviously, because they're cannibals. If you thought incest was bad, they are cannibals.
Yeah, no, that's yeah,
also bad.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to the Night's Watch or Marine?
I was gonna
Marine.
Because you hate it. Okay.
No, well, Marine because it's quick.
It is, and I actually marked this as Yenkai because I couldn't remember the name of where they were going. It's definitely the road. So it's road
on the way to Marine.
On the way to Marine, and so what they have is
Daenerys.
Drogon is being a lap dragon, and Daenerys is petting him, and then the other dragons come up and they're fighting over eating a lamb. And it's a little scary because Drogon snaps at Daenerys as Jorah is walking out, and Jorah's
When
like,
that happened, my roommate Sophie, who was watching with me, just said, "Teenage angst."
yeah, exactly. Bite the hand that feeds. So they Jorah points out, hey, they're never tame. You can't expect that they are going to actually just answer you all the time, period. We later see Daenerys getting ready to have the troops move out, and she can't find Dario, Naharis, or Grey Worm because they are quote unquote gambling. Basically, they have challenged each other to hold up their swords.
Just to ride next to Daenerys, which they could have just done.
Right, they just had been holding them up for hours and hours. And basically, she's like, yeah, neither of you gets to sit to ride near me. You're going to get sent to their rear guard. I would point out we have new Dario, which
Yeah, new
is,
Dario. I like him better.
I think personality wise, he's better. He's not as cute.
Well, I like him. I like him.
I won't
I'm
say
not a
he's
big wolf.
bad.
I'm not like a long hair person. So the first guy had long blonde hair, and I was just not into that. But this guy has shorter hair, and he also has that up. Like he seems like he would be a sellsword. The other guy was just pretty. This
True.
guy I would buy as a sellsword, but also appreciates the inner beauty of people, not just the beauty. And I think that
He's more of a con artist,
he's
definitely.
cooler. He's much cooler to me. And so I like him. I like to think that it's the same guy, but he just cut and dyed his hair.
That's not true.
Well, Tommen, we're meeting new Tommen in the next
That's
episode.
true.
And
That's
so
true.
I'd like to think that he just grew up because
There's
the
a
sad thing is they're pretty consistent for the most part with actors, but
True.
sometimes they just leave.
Yeah.
And so,
Or they're supposed to be significantly older.
and so. They worked around it, and I like this guy. But then again, I say I like this guy better than the last guy. We stick around with this guy longer, so I there's no way of knowing whether or not I like one or the other. But I like this guy.
Right. So yeah,
Either
he
way,
got new Dario.
they're going to Meereen,
Right.
and he gives her flowers for whatever reason because he
Yeah.
likes
Oh, you
her.
need to know the land to rule it. So he uses that as a reason he's brought her a bouquet of flowers.
Well, then the army is stopped. A couple mile, like 163 miles from Meereen, and they are stopped by seeing this crucified slave. And apparently, they're a crucified slave at every mile marker from there to Meereen, which is 163 miles.
They're
And
crucified in a way that they're pointing toward Marine.
yeah,
So it's creepy.
it's creepy. And Daenerys, is just like, yeah, no, don't take them down before I see them. I want to see every single one of them so I know what I'm fighting for. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I
Whatever.
respect that on one level, but at the same
Sure,
time,
but
it's kind of like,
again, she seems
like she's doing it for show.
well, there was this moment when she was going to look for Dario and Grey Worm, and she was walking through, and so I saw like several of the freed slaves being like, "Misa, Misa," and she just like, "Yeah, no, great." And I mean, like, yeah, you don't have time for all of them, but still, I think that it's confusing on what their role they're playing at this point. Like, what are they doing? Where are they? What are they
They're
doing?
marching for her.
Yeah, but
And that's
where's
what she
the food
wants.
coming from? Like, I don't,
Good
it's a
question.
desert, and you had trouble with this
Great
before.
question. But yeah, and it's something that's explored a lot more in the books, although it just is explored in ways that are pretty boring.
I'm also surprised that the second son's even like made their marching for Daenerys because I mean they're sellswords. I mean they're just gonna go, most of them. I know they're
Right.
following Dario, but I think that it's interesting that
It's
all of
not
them are
really,
following this guy.
that is not exactly how it plays out in the book either. But, because there are
Whatever.
splits and whatever, there's a lot of allegiance changing
Well, I think
and
that makes
whatever.
sense
It
because
does, but you can't put
yeah,
that
it
all
doesn't
on the
matter. I
show.
don't care really all that much, but it's weird.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to road?
Road.
So the Hound and Arya come across a slaughtered camp. They kind of just walk past that. There, it's more just to show that the North is being ransacked, ever since the Red Wedding, and they just kind of have to deal with consequences. Because when they, at one of the last shots of this episode is of them riding off into this wasteland that's on fire. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, I guess that's the north now. Thanks, Boltons. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. Anyway, they...
Well, and the mountain, because the mountain's still running
around. Yeah, that's true. So Arya is complaining that she doesn't have her own horse. And the plan is they're going to the Vale to sell her to Lysa Arryn, her aunt, who is a breastfeeding weirdo.
Yeah, she doesn't know that, though. She's never met her.
I'm not saying that people who breastfeed are weirdos. I'm not saying that at all. No, your people who breastfeed your 10-year-old are weirdos.
Yes.
I will say that, and I will go on record saying that.
I'm comfortable saying that.
Yes, and so they go to this inn, and the Hound is kind of nervous about going into the inn, but Arya's like, we need food, come on. And then they see these Lannister people, including Polliver, who is the guy who took Arya, Hot Pie, and Gendry, and she says the name of the guy who gets killed, but I just don't care, to Harrenhal. And so Arya wants revenge because she can tell that Polliver. I said Polliver.
Oh,
no, I'm talking about the kid who got killed. The blonde kid.
Yeah.
The blonde bitch. that's all I call them. So it doesn't really matter. It didn't really matter. So she notices that Polliver still has Needle and she wants revenge. And so the Hound is like, no, let's just not. Let's go to a different place or something. And by the time he looks down, he just sees she's just gone. And she's like, she walks really weirdly up to the door. It's very funny to me. She's like walking with a purpose. And
yeah,
she's like, I'm going to get my sword back. Yeah, and then he's like, no, you're not. And so, but by the time they get there, the door opens and they've already been seen. So they might as well go in. Yeah. So they go in, and you can tell that the Lannister guys are being absolute dickheads to this poor tavern wench who didn't deserve this. Like, she's just doing her job.
Yeah, she's basically gonna get raped.
Yeah, and it's bad. And so they're just sitting there, and then Polliver recognizes the Hound. And so he comes over and he's like, oh, I admire your work. And they get to talking. Polliver invites the Hound to go with them to King's Landing, but the Hound says no and fuck the king. I don't work for that little shit anymore. Leave me alone.
But he's also talking about, I'd like a chicken.
Yes. Polliver offers one of their chickens for a chance with Arya, which is messed up in many ways.
No, but the hound is basically saying, you're gonna go get me a chicken. And he's like, I am not. And he's like, but I might if you let me have sex with Arya.
And then he's just like, I am going to eat all the fucking chickens, dude.
Well, no, the house like, bring me two chickens. And all I could think about was Jake Blue saying, two fried chickens, some dry toast, and a Coke. And he's like, yeah, he is saying,
from Blue's Brothers, to be clear.
Yeah.
Anyway, then there's a big fight scene. Arya stays out of it for the most part, but then at once the Hound is kind of like really down and trying to fight him off really hard, and other people start getting back up after they were just knocked out for a second. Arya grabs a sword and starts fighting them and stabbing these people, and then she goes over to Polliver, who's been wounded, and she takes her Needle back and she starts quoting him back to him, like, oh, nice needle, nice little blade, maybe I'll pick my teeth with it. Is your leg hurt, boy? Do you need to be carried? And then she kills him in the exact way he killed the blonde bitch, right with Needle right through the throat.
Yep.
And he dies.
Yep.
Good riddance. And then Arya got her pony, and the Hound got his chicken, and now they're on the road to Armageddon.
It's dark and they're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it. Anyway, it's very Blues Brothers, to be honest. It really is.
It is.
It's one of those bars that they go and perform. Yeah,
exactly. We're on a mission from God.
We're on a mission from God.
Exactly.
I need to once rewatch that.
It's a great
movie. Anyway, let's go to King's Landing. Oh, no,
Castle
Nice Watch.
Castle Black.
Yeah. Sorry.
So we've got John. John is talking about Rob because he's found out Rob's been killed. And
I don't like the way he talks about Rob.
My
problem is it's too similar. Yes, but also it's too similar to what Theon was saying while Rob was still alive, I think that John was really close to Rob. Like, his goodbye to Rob is very heartwarming.
Yeah.
But then randomly he's just like, well, that's that. He had this whole thing about Ned being dead, and he got on a rampage about that. I can understand him being kind of blasé about Catelyn being dead, but I think that he's probably just like, it's processed well.
Right.
But I think that it's weird. Go ahead.
And here's what he says. He's like, he's talking about Rob. He's like, I always was jealous of him and I wanted to hate him, but I never could. He's, you know, he admired how well he functioned in that world, and he just never could hate Rob, which I think is very real. Because he was never going to be, you know, the heir or anything else. The way I read it is like, he's already had to process Ned. He's had to process all of this shit from hanging out with the wildlings. He almost got killed recently. He's kind of like already in shock on some level. And he's coming into a meeting where he's basically going to be judged. And he's like, I know I did plenty wrong. Alistair Thorne is basically sitting as the Lord Commander. Well, the Lord Commander's away because no one knows that he's
dead.
But there's no one that's been appointed yet.
Yeah, it's a vote thing. So.
Right. So he admits to killing Corrin Halfhand. He says he lay with a girl. And they're the former City Watch guy, the guy who was the head of the City Watch.
Yeah, I forgot his name. Sir Fuckface. Yeah. Like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, so the one who got sent to the wall by Tyrion is sitting on the tribunal. I love
that
as well.
Detail, though, like, because that was in season two. And now he's just there. Like, again, the consistency is impressive until, like, you just switch actors very abruptly.
Right. No, and this is the same actor, but it's interesting because this is actually a big storyline, that City Watch guy in the book. So they've actually diminished him a lot, but you know, it's
okay
fine.
With that.
I'm totally fine with it too. He's kind of
he's
sad.
Kind of just weird.
Yeah.
This was such a funny line though.
Go ahead.
The City Watch guy said, "I was the commander of the City Watch in King's Landing," and then John says, "And now you're here. You must not be very good at your job." I love that so fucking much. I love how sassy John is now.
Yeah,
like John,
John's
like
not taking
well,
it.
No, like John killing the warg and be like, "You were right the whole time," and then him being like, "You weren't very good at your job." Like, I love his energy now. Like,
yeah,
he's just
no.
so over this shit. Like, before he was so in awe of everything that the Night's Watch did and all the Rangers and all that stuff. It was so cool. It's kind of like with Sansa. Sansa was so into the whole King's Landing thing that she wanted to be anywhere but home.
Right.
And she wanted to go to this beautiful place where people dress in these beautiful clothes and have their beautiful hair. But it turns out it's a shitty place. I don't know why I was such shit so many times. I think that it's so interesting how his perspective has changed now, and like how he was so into, okay, I'm going to keep my vows, I'm going to be cool, I'm going to do this. And to be fair, Corrin Halfhand, that was supposed to happen that way. And so he has a defense for that. Right. But the whole laying with the girl thing, he does admit it, which I respect.
Right.
But Maester Aemon says, oh, well, if you decapitated every guy who lay with a girl and was in the Night's Watch, the wall would be headed, like, would be manned by headless men. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like she's smelling my wine and drinking it. She's wondering what's in it to make me weird.
Checking. You know, it could be poison. Always to check stuff.
Anyway, I think that it's just interesting how jaded he is. And I love how over it he is. He's just like, I don't care about this. I have bigger priorities, like the dead rising.
Right, right. Like, this is the difference between John and Sansa. And I agree with you that he went in as an innocent. And he really was very invested in being cocky, but also believing in the mission, right?
Yeah.
And now he's seen a bunch of shit, but here's the difference. He has done everything that he intended to do as a member of the Night's Watch. He has been beyond the wall. He's fought wildlings. He has done some shit. And he's been through some stuff. He had arrows shot into him.
He had sex.
He had sex because now he knows the world. He's man of the world.
Now he knows what to do with his tongue.
And other parts. So
I hope that will be useful later.
Oh, we'll see. But anyway, so he...
You know what I'm talking about,
I do. But he's over it in a completely different way than Sansa. He hasn't been beaten down necessarily. He has climbed up. And I think that that is the difference. And that's part of the reason that he is Mr. Sassy, right?
I think another thing is that, he has been through so much more than what Alistair has been. And clearly, even though Alistair was like, well, I spent months beyond the wall. So has John. John has spent it with the enemy, acting like one of the enemies. And he also uses terms like free folk. And they are like, hey, you're still one of them.
You should be killed for that.
Fuck that. Okay. He came back for a reason.
Right, and he tells you the reason. Yeah. So this is the other thing that he does in this hearing. He's like, look, this is what they are planning to do. There's going to be a wildling attack. There's already, a bunch of them south of the wall. They are coming for us. We are not ready. We need to get to fucking work, basically. Mm. And Maester Aemon's like, yep, we need to get to work. We're not going to do anything to you. And Alistair Thorne's kind of like, hey.
Yeah, I think that it's also interesting that... Alistair, like everybody he's like John's talked to are it, like everybody's amazed by the fact that he's killed a White Walker or at least even encountered one, and I'm so perplexed by the fact that they haven't come across all of these people. Obviously, like, they probably died, but I think that it's interesting that Alistair thinks he's the leading authority on this shit even though he hasn't experienced it. And now that John has more experience than him, he feels threatened. And I just love his sass. You clearly weren't good at your job. Now you're here. Welcome. You're not going to last long, are you? All right. So I guess let's go to King's Landing. The opening sequence is so fucking good.
Yeah.
It starts out with the Stark theme, because I also watched the credits and the previously on Game of Thrones stuff, and they showed these shots of ice, which was Ned Stark's sword, which is huge. And there's a reason you can make two swords out of that big fucking sword. It's insane. But it's his Valyrian steel sword, and now they're finally going to do something with it. Tywin takes it to a Valyrian steel smith. And he has it broken, melted down, and put into two swords. And it switches from the Stark theme, because I have the captions on, and it said Reigns of Castamere playing, and then I heard it, and it was the Stark theme. I'm like, no, it's not. And then it changes to the Reigns of Castamere about halfway through when it splits up into two swords.
Oh, I forgot to mention, I always do this. Dreadfort was in the credits.
I know, I saw that too. Yeah, I know. I don't know why I said Moat Cailin. And we find out next episode that Moat Cailin's in the control of Yara, or the greater somehow. Don't know how that happened.
So Yara had taken that originally, but then she went on to Winterfell and then back to the Iron Islands. They don't know, I guess, that Yara left.
I thought they took a different council.
No.
I guess I'm wrong. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. So what happened? And he also Tywin also throws a wolf pelt into the fire, which. Fuck you, guys. Fuck you. Then Jaime is gifted one of the swords, and there's this moment, and Jaime looks better now. He was all like bearded and long haired and looked grimy all the time in seasons 2 and 3, but now he's clean shaven and he has a haircut and he looks much cleaner. And Sophie, my roommate, was like, I don't know this guy, right? Like, she genuinely didn't recognize him because she had only seen him in seasons 2 and 3 because she didn't watch season 1 or all of season 1. So she just didn't recognize Jamie. And I was like, Sophie, that's just Jamie. And she's like, what? Yeah, I'm like, yeah, he looks much better now, doesn't he? Anyway, Jamie will have to train with his left hand now that his right hand is of no use to him anymore. And Tywin also tells Jaime that he can't serve on the King's Guard anymore, and he needs to return to rule Casterly Rock, which is his birthright. And Jaime's like, no. And he's essentially disowned, because, yeah, because that's a great idea. And Tywin's dad of the year, always. Then Tyrion is waiting to greet the Dornish prince coming in for the wedding of Joffrey and Margaery. It's supposed to be King Doran of Dorne, which, what a name to
Right,
be like
he's
living
actually the
in
prince.
Dorne.
He's like the first prince.
He's like the eldest prince.
Yeah.
But his little brother, Oberyn Martell, is coming in his stead because he's too because Doran is too ill to travel. He has like gout or something. And so Oberyn's coming instead, but he doesn't show up to the meeting place. And so they kind of have to search for him. It's not a long search. Oberyn's in the whorehouse and he's with his lover, Ilari. Oh, is it Ilaria?
Alaria.
Ilari. Oh.
It's Illyria, I think.
No, it's not. It's E. I have the captions on.
Whatever. Alaria.
Ilaria
Alaria.
Sand. It's his lover. I don't think they're definitely not married. But they, the best way to put it is lover.
Yeah.
They attend a lot of orgies, and
Yeah.
so they're also both
They
bi.
organize. They organize orgies.
They're bi or pan or something. They don't care what sex you are. They know they definitely want to have sex with you. It doesn't matter who you are. But they are at the whorehouse. They're about to have sex with these people, these whores, and including the guy who was sleeping with Loras for a bit just to get information for Littlefinger. But then out of the blue, the Rains of Castamere is being sung by a Lannister guard in a different room. And so Oberyn, being super, super angry whenever he hears anything about the Lannisters, and we'll find out why in a second, and it is valid. He goes into the room and starts threatening the Lannister guards and ends up actually putting his knife into one of the guy's wrists. And just he's about to kill him and then Tyrion and Bronn show up and blah blah blah. Yeah. Tyrion comes in and talks to him. Oberyn tells the story of how his sister Elia Martell was married to Rhaegar Targaryen, but Rhaegar Targaryen left Elia for Lyanna Stark, who is Ned's sister. And as we know,
That started the
Rhaegar,
war.
that started the war because he stole her from Robert and presumably raped and killed her. So, but also, Leon, apparently, Elia had children with Rhaegar,
Yes.
and but they were killed by the Mountain and by like Lannister people in general during the rebellion. And also, she, and this is again how the story goes, the Mountain presumably raped and then split her in half with this sword. So
Yeah,
there's
I can see
a
that.
reason why the Martells don't like the Lannisters, because the Mountain is controlled by
Yeah.
Tywin. And that does not bode well for them in the Martells' good graces at all. So that's that. So later on, Sansa won't eat anything, including lemon cakes. I hate that they make that a whole thing.
Yeah,
That,
I feel
hey,
like
maybe it's in the book or something, but like
I
they
don't
really,
actually remember that. It might be. I don't fucking care.
because it's not an important detail, but they're making
No.
it so important that she loves lemon cakes. That's her one defining trait. She just loves lemon cakes. It's the one thing she loves. And yet she won't eat her lemon cakes, and that proves to be the end of the world.
Yeah. So yeah, but I didn't. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
But yeah.
Tyrion wants to help her. Basically, she just re Sansa just recounts what happened to her family at the Red Wedding, and Tyrion says something really nice of how he admired Catelyn. He didn't really know Rob, but he knew Catelyn pretty well. And he says she wanted to have me executed, but I admired her. And
Right.
so it's really sweet. But Sansa doesn't really want to deal with people right now, and so she goes She's going to the Godswood so people won't talk to her.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yep, fair enough. So they go. Did you have the whole
Shay?
Seriously?
No, but Shay is next.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Shay surprises Tyrion at his bed.
Yeah.
And wants to have sex, but he refuses and she gets angry. She asks him if he wants her to stay in King's Landing and he doesn't say anything, so she runs off, but Cersei's maid overhears.
Right. So one of the other things that Shay says is,
I am your whore.
She says that.
I don't like her voice. No, I'm sorry to the actress, but the voice you put on for this, I can't deal with it.
It is a bit much, but she's supposed to have an accent. Anyway, but the thing that gets mentioned is that Varys had tried to pay her off with diamonds, and Tyrion's kind of like,
"That was
what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about." And then she's like, "Well, do you want me to stay?" And he's like, not answering. So yeah, Cersei's spy sees her leave. Then we have Jaime.
This scene makes me so fucking mad.
So Jaime is in Cersei's chambers, I guess, mm-hmm. having Qyburn fit him with a metal hand.
Yes.
Well, it's skilled in steel. I'll be honest with you. Jaime in this scene actually is just fabulous to me.
He's wonderful. I'm mad at Cersei.
Oh, Cersei's horrible. Because Cersei is like, she's watching this go on and Qyburn fits the metal hand. And as Cersei's like, seeing Qyburn out, Jamie's in the background waving.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I love that.
Like, oh my god, I love you so much.
But also, so what happens is Jamie's like, oh well, maybe we should have sex right now. And she's like no, things have changed, Jamie. And she recaps her journey after he left for war.
She's
like, yeah, no, we went through siege. And he was like, it was a pretty short siege. And she was like, yeah, well, a short siege that I didn't think I was going to survive. And then he's just like, well, you haven't even been, like, tried to touch me for, like, weeks. I've been back for weeks. And she's just like, I'm different, Jamie. Your time has passed because I'm mad at you because you left me. I'm like, I'm sorry. Let's recap. Jamie left because he attacked Ned Stark in the middle of the day, in the middle of a square and outside of a whorehouse. And so he had to flee the city. And so he went to his father, who was in the middle of doing war stuff. And so he was sent to do stuff at war, which he was going to do anyway. And then he gets captured, and somehow this is his fault that he kept trying to escape, and then he got his hand chopped off trying to get back to you. Is that the problem, Cersei? Like, are you fucking kidding me? How is this his fault? And yeah. She's like, you took too long. And I'm like,
yeah. Oh, fuck you. Like, he had some control over that? Fuck that shit. She's fucking
what if
terrible.
You were taken prisoner for, like,
okay,
months?
So I'm not sure, and I need to actually kind of clock this. But I think from this season on, Cersei doesn't even have any good lines. I hate her from about that. I mean, she has some good lines.
She has some good lines.
Season 3, but from season 4 on, I'm kind of like, I'm just done with you.
She has some good lines in season 6.
I don't remember them. I'm pretty much done with her at this point, and there's a whole lot more Cersei to come. So just point it out. She's going to be a worse part for me for quite some time.
Then the maid comes in and tells Cersei about Shay. Later on, the Tyrells are choosing jewelry. Olenna and Marjorie specifically for the wedding. And Brienne approaches them and is praised by Olenna, which I love.
That's
like,
sweet.
What
a
queen. Love that for her.
Yeah.
Then Brienne tells Marjorie about the shadow who killed Renly. It looked like Stannis, and it's like, it's because it came from, it, the dust came from his penis. Like, I mean, yes, it did look like Stannis.
It did look like
Stannis. And then we go over to Joffrey, who is looking at swords while Jaime and Ser Meron sort out the guards for the wedding ceremony and the meal afterwards and all that stuff. They're sorting out who's going to be by who. Jaime's going to guard Joffrey instead of Ser Meron, even though Ser Meron was kind of taking that over while Jamie was away. But Joffrey looks at the book of the Kingsguard and noted and how their deeds were recorded. But Jamie only has one page. And he's like, yeah, you're not much of a knight, are you? You suck at this. You only have one hand, you doofus. Like, you suck at this. I need people who can actually protect me, which is a valid complaint. But I mean,
It might be. He doesn't know what Jamie's capable of. He's certainly not capable of
well,
aiming
Jamie
bullets.
says, well, now it's more of a challenge for me, but it gives
It
them a
keeps them
fighting
fair.
chance.
Yeah, exactly. But he refers to some people that are important, like Sir Arthur Dane, the Knight of the Morning. His
No,
name
it's
does get
Arthur Duncan.
is Dane.
Well, there's a Sir Duncan the Tall.
Sir Duncan the Tall. So later on, Jamie and Brienne meet up, and Brienne's like, "Look, you need to keep your goddamn oath." And he's like,
Maybe
"Well,
she's safer in
you know,
King's Landing.
I kind of got it. Arya's probably dead, so whatever."
Wow, great optimism.
And he's talking about how Sansa might be safer in King's Landing, and then
Which
we
is
cut to
bullshit.
Sansa.
We all know it's bullshit.
But we cut to Sansa, who has been like out sitting in the garden or whatever.
Praying, but also not praying because she just wants to be left alone.
Right, and she's coming back and she starts to hear someone following her, and she is stopped by what turns out to be
Sir Dontos, the fool that
the
she
giant.
saved from Joffrey in season two, the first episode of season two.
And he gives her a necklace and
Yeah,
says, "It's an
a
heirloom."
family heirloom, just to thank her for saving his life.
Yeah.
Then that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
What were your best parts of this episode?
The first scene is very well done. I got chills. Like, I don't know
Oh,
why,
yeah.
but that first
Well,
scene really hit me.
ice the sword being broken in half
And
like
the
that.
song change. Oh.
Oh,
Anyway.
yeah. Well, and of course, and we hear about from Jamie that these Valyrian steel swords, Tyrion refers to it as being absurdly long. The one he was able to make two because
I
that
think
one was
Jamie
so.
knows which sword is
Oh, I
going to
think
be.
Jamie does too, but I think his point is, hey, we Lannisters have never had a Valyrian steel sword. This is
You really
a
wanted this for the
real heirloom.
family.
Yeah, I mean, this is really pretty awesome.
Yeah, then Podrick for being present. Oberyn for having reasons to actually hate the Lannisters.
It's
It's also Pedro Pascal. He's
He
wonderful in this.
is so great in
He's
his role.
so good in this role. Oh, so good. The Hound and Arya are so good in this. And I think Jamie's also really good in this.
Okay, my best parts, I've got Arya and the Hound, obviously. John, I love in this
Oh, yes,
episode. I
John, the
love
sassiness.
John. I
Oh, the
love John. I
sass.
love Sam. Sam's a little awesome in this too, although we didn't really talk
Sam
about him.
doesn't talk
He's talking to
much.
John, and when he talks
Oh,
to
about
John,
Rob.
he's like, "I'm jealous of you. I feel that way about you. The same way you're describing Rob is how I feel about you. Like, I should hate you, but I just don't. You're good with the women and all that stuff." He's like, "Nope, I just
And
whatever."
when you hear Kit Harington say, yeah, all the girls like Richard Madden, and I'm like,
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of equal,
it
so.
is kind of equal. I love Master Aemon in this, Maester Aemon.
Yeah, he him defending John is great.
I love Oberyn Tyra, Oberyn Martell, and I love Brienne.
Yeah, Brienne's good. She wants to keep her oath. Let's see how far she goes. So let the ooh, worst parts. Shay. Oh, what the fuck is up with you?
I have been
Like,
defensive of Shay up till this point, but
I've
this
never been
season,
on
that
defense of
shit ain't
Shay.
happening.
Shay just sucks ass, literally. And I just want her to go away.
I will point out that like she is like so prostitute in the books.
I'm
It's
your
like,
whore.
which, but I mean,
Anyway.
she doesn't even say stuff like that. She's like, she just is. She's just like the
She doesn't
whatever.
have to say it, but she says, I am your whore
Yeah,
every
whatever.
episode. I'm doing a bad impression, I'm sorry. No offense to the actress. You're doing a great job. It's just I don't like the voice you put on for this. Anyway, the Thens, they are
Oh, I forgot to include them.
awful and gross, and I don't
Forgot to
like them.
include them.
And Cersei for being a whiny bitch.
Oh,
Like,
I forget. How can
I
I forget
honestly don't know.
I don't.
I'm confused by
Okay,
you. Like, do you want to fuck your brother or don't you?
if I never say it again, it is an accident. Seriously, it's the worst part in just about every episode going forward.
Do you want to fuck your brother or don't you?
Are
Like,
you
do you
asking me?
want
Because the
to?
answer
Like,
is
no,
I
I'm
have no
asking the
brothers.
audience. I'm asking the audience because I'm confused by what Cersei actually wants. Who do you want to fuck, girl? Like, you clearly don't want to fuck Loras because Loras doesn't want to fuck you.
Well, one of
Jamie
the things.
wants to fuck you, and obviously that's wrong because it's incest, but like, you were so for it
Okay,
before. So here is part of...
Is it because he doesn't have a hand?
He can still give you a hand job.
Here is the part of the like side thing that happens in that scene that we did not even discuss. Qyburn and Cersei have a conversation where she's like,
yeah, oh, Cersei likes Qyburn. But not like that.
Okay. So she's talking to Qyburn about, oh, the remedy you gave me worked. And I think Jamie takes from that, hey, are you having sex with somebody? You're trying to prevent pregnancy? Yeah.
That's not the vibe I was getting, but right. Who are you fucking? Like,
well, I mean, like, Lancel Lannister. I mean,
Lancel doesn't appear ever again.
I am going to say that he does, but he does in season 6. With the sparrow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Lancel does appear again.
Lancel's such a fucking
But
hero.
I will say this, in the books, it is enumerated how many people Cersei's sleeping with, and it's a lot.
Honestly, I could see it, but then like in this situation, it just seems like she's not. And so I'm like, right. Okay, well,
the way
what
they
do you
she's
want
not. It's a lie. But
yeah, it is a lie, but I'm just confused about what she wants.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only...
He's here now!
Exactly.
You can pretend that's a
hand. He nearly died getting there numerous times. Like, it's fucking terrible. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Overall grade.
I didn't show my worst parts
well,
yet.
You forgot Cersei. I don't know how you did that.
Right, so I have Shay. Yeah. People you skipped. Tywin. Fucking awful.
Yeah.
Joffrey, horribly fucking awful.
Oh, but I mean, it's kind of funny though.
Oliver, awful.
Oh, yes.
Sir Alistair, fucking awful. Oh, so, yeah, what was your grade for this episode?
Wait, I'm adding them to my list.
And of course,
wait, what was the middle thing? Joffrey,
Tywin, Oliver,
okay.
Alistair.
I would give it a B+.
Oh, really? I gave it a B-.
Oh, fuck. Wait, maybe I'm wrong. I might give it a B. I think that it has some interesting parts, and it has some great moments for certain characters, but I think that I also like the characters that are introduced.
You know, I think my thing is that it's pretty boring and it doesn't move things forward very quickly. And
I think I was in a good mood when I watched this.
Okay, good for you. I was not. So be it. Now we have The Lion and the Rose, season 4, episode 2.
The sections are King's Landing, Beyond the Wall, which from now on, until we adjust it, well, actually, no, just from now on,
that's
for the most
Bran.
Part, it's Bran.
It's Bran.
Bran and Co. Dragonstone and the Dreadfort. In King's Landing. I meant in King's Landing.
You did. So you guys are at the Dreadfort. Just kind of get
this weirdo. This motherfucker. Yeah, Jesus Christ. Ramsay and Miranda. Miranda was the whore who was all over Theon until they cut off his dick.
And the other whore, the
Violet
girl.
No. It's a different girl.
Oh,
well, maybe they both. Yeah, No, but they keep calling out a different name than Violet.
Mm.
That's what confuses me because it's not like they used fake names when they were seducing Theon. They called her Miranda and they called her Violet. Maybe it is Violet, but they kept calling her a different name. It started with a B or something. Bam? I don't know.
Whatever.
Bam.
Jingle bam. All right. So
anyway.
They're hunting. There is hunting going on.
They're hunting bam. And they're trying to kill her because Miranda got jealous and now they really have this emphasis. I think they just flipped a switch where they're just like, oh yeah, Miranda and Ramsay, they're like this. They're fucking, and he is basically, she's essentially his lover, his exclusive lover for now. Which is kind of confusing, but sure, she's like a kettle master's daughter or some shit. I don't know.
We aren't told that until later.
But she also has good aim. So
she does.
Shoots an arrow through Bam's ass and Bam
downs
falls.
Yeah.
And there are hounds after her.
Yeah, it's really
and
awful.
There's this amazing performance from the guy who plays Ramsay. I forget his name. I feel bad. Ramsay.
Ian something.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I feel bad.
Keep going.
He's amazing. But he has this amazing line that he says like a game show host. If you make it out of the woods, you win.
Yeah,
it's so creepy.
What was the other show we saw him in?
He's Misfits.
Misfits. He's wonderful. Like, he is creepy as fuck pretty much everywhere.
So yeah, but he's wonderful. But I love his charisma in this. Like, he's just like, if you make it out of the woods, you win. And I'm like, if this was any other circumstance, if you weren't hunting down an actual human being, that would be really funny.
But yeah, it's you and Rion.
You and Rion. Oh, okay. Never going to remember that. But
it's an interesting spelling of you.
You and Rion, you are fucking amazing.
He is.
You're
amazing.
So good.
He's Welsh. That explains it.
Ah, yes. Welsh.
It makes no sense because
it was either going to be Welsh or Irish.
Yeah, so. No, definitely Welsh. That ain't Irish, girlfriend.
Well, they have all these weird spellings. Anyway.
Sure.
Miranda, they're now lovers, and Theon calls the master and lady. And Theon is very decrepit now, and he's just like hopping really along, sick, trying to follow them, and he's just
a shadow of his former self. It's very sad.
And the hounds tear Bam apart, and it's very sad horrible. Because I keep wanting to call her Bam, but Violet, it's Bam? Basil?
What are you talking about?
I'm trying to remember the name. I didn't write it down. I think it started with a B. I really don't.
But okay. So she's eaten alive by the dogs, and Theon is shaking through this. So later on at the Dreadfort, Bruce Bolton comes home with his wife and Locke and all of his people.
His wife that was mentioned before the Red Wedding.
Right, she is a Frey. Ramsay greets him, and he goes up to the wife and calls her mother.
It's kind of
forward, he's a little creeped out. Yeah,
but also I'm confused. Like, when did this marriage happen? Because like she must have met Ramsay before.
I don't think so. I think that the marriage happened like right before the Red Wedding.
But that doesn't make sense because Catelyn knew about it. And Bruce Bolton just got to the twins.
Yeah, but why wouldn't she's been hanging out at the twins for a couple days? Someone would have said.
But he's been at Harrenhal.
I'm not. I think that it was very recent.
I'm confused.
So Ramsay greets her and says, "Oh, mother," or whatever. And so Ramsay and Locke are clearly buddies, which makes sense. Locke being the guy,
being the Bolton
guy who was trying to feed Brienne to the bear. Not okay, fucker. Don't like him.
And they bond over how they maimed Jamie, and it doesn't, whatever. Ramsay then shows Theon to Roose, and the Iron Bolt born apparently hold Mount Caelan, which I thought they were going to different
But here's
places,
the thing,
though.
Roose is really upset. He is like pissed that Ramsay has flayed Theon. And he's like, Theon was a valuable hostage. I can't believe you sent terms to Balon Greyjoy without my consent. I mean, he is.
I wanted to trade him for Moat Cailin. Right. And so I think that's why I thought we were at Moat Cailin, because I thought, I don't know. Mm-mm. Anyway, to prove Theon's loyalty, because Roose is still questioning it, because Ramsay's all like, oh, he won't hurt us now. Reek won't hurt us. Theon Greyjoy is dead. This is Reek. And so it's like his Frankenstein's monster thing.
Gross.
It's well, he is taking pieces apart. And so I'm not entirely wrong. But to prove Theon's loyalty, he has Theon shave him while he tells, he makes him talk about how he let the Stark boys go. And then he taunts him about the Red Wedding, being like, oh yeah, Robb Stark's dead.
My father stabbed him in the heart like he's proud of it.
How are you feeling about that, huh?
And poor Theon is shaking. And you can see it go through. This is a brilliant performance.
Oh,
It is a brilliant
performance. Alfie Allen is fantastic.
Alfie Allen's fantastic. So you see it like go through his eyes, like, should I hurt him now?
Yes.
And then
the answer is always yes.
The answer is always yes. But unfortunately, at this point, he is so beaten down that the answer for him is no.
It was giving Queen Charlotte with all of the shaving. It was a lot of shaving. Anyway.
You are the submissive.
Honestly, you and kind of looks good with a beard. I'm not going to lie. Anyway. Roose sends Locke to find the Stark boys, and Theon points them in the direction of Castle Black and Jon.
Roos then sends Ramsay and Theon to take Moat Cailin, in return he will maybe legitimize him.
Yes.
We'll see. Great. We'll see.
Do you want to go to Dragonstone? Where other crazy ass shit's going on?
So Selyse's brother is now being sacrificed
by Melisandre.
Selyse is such a fucking weirdo.
Ecstatic about her brother being burned alive. She's like,
their souls left their bodies. Did you see? I'm like, what's wrong with you?
No.
So this is what you have to do to make these podcasts interesting. You have to get me really drunk. I'm just making voices of breaking it random. I haven't.
That's why I was checking it earlier. I was like, what the hell just happened?
I didn't spike my own drink.
Sure.
With more wine? Like,
whatever.
I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, Selyse tries to talk at dinner later about how she ate Seagull and it was great, but Stannis could not give any more shits. Like, he just does not care about his wife. He wants to fuck Melisandre so bad that he cannot handle that pussy. So he's just stuck with Selyse. And Selyse, again, hates her daughter. She
says god awful shit about
Shireen. She has some marks on her face. It's called leprosy.
No, it's called great.
It's their equivalent of leprosy.
Right. But it also has not spread, which, you know, there's an explanation for that later. But
yeah, that's later.
But what she says is that she can't be controlled and she's a bad girl. I mean, basically,
they were locked in the fucking tower like a cursed princess.
She is a cursed princess. That's
not O'Brien.
Not O'Brien. But Melisandre is acting like
she was supposed to beat her, and I'm like, what will that solve?
Well, and Stannis is like, you're not going to touch my child. That is not okay. But they're going to send Melisandre to like correct her.
Why would they send her?
Creepy.
But Shireen is also
washing. Crazy shit.
Well, Shireen's also kind of hesitant about, like, yeah, no, I heard them screaming. I know that they didn't like that, did they? And she's like, people scream when they give birth, and then they're filled with joy. And she's like, nope, they were just screaming in pain.
Yeah.
And then Melisandre's like, she asks, hey, do you believe in any of the gods or whatever? And Shireen's like, yeah, no, I read the seven-pointed star. And she's like, so there aren't any seven heavens or seven hells? And then Melisandre says, there's only one hell, princess, the one we live in now. Yeah. And me and Sophie just burst out laughing at that.
Like,
and I'm like, okay, crazy lady, I will definitely keep that in mind. And that's a great talk.
That is a great recruitment tool.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? What was the goal here?
I don't know. Anyway. I never know. So let's go to the north.
Yeah. Beyond the Wall, Bran walks into Summer and has her eat a deer, but he can't live on that, apparently. If he stays in Summer too long, I'm sorry. It's not bestiality, I swear. He'd forget what it was like to be human. And then there's this moment. Again, me and Sophie laughed so hard.
So
no, Mira's like, you forget your family and Winterfell. You forget us. And then Sophie's like, I don't think you're pitching it the right way.
No.
Because, I mean, his life has been hell. His family's mostly dead. Like, why would he want
burning.
To? Why would he want to? I'm like, why would you want to remember that? And so I'm just like, you're pitching it the wrong way. And so, he is brought to the Heartwood tree and has a vision of the three-eyed raven under the tree. He was going to be under the tree to the north. And then we have like the ghost of Sean Bean, like his eye. And I'm like, oh, it's Ned. And then dragon over King's Landing. And then the Night King through like an ice glass.
One other thing that's interesting
that we see later on.
Right. So the one of the things
that's it's our first glimpse of the Night King, by the way.
Right. So you see the throne rooms with snow.
Yeah, it's the same thing Daenerys saw.
Exactly. The same thing Daenerys saw, which, again, it's interesting because you have like magic, magic, magic. Magic is all the same. Really? Is it? Interesting question. And one that will, I'm just spoiler alert here, never be.
You almost feared this. Because this is that. There are things about this show that I'm sorry I could have written better.
I'm sorry. I would like to also add, by the way, from Dragonstone, like Selyse is always doing puppet squares in her head just to see if Shireen is actually her child.
Like, she just does not give a shit about her. If his peepee came into her head. Gregor Mendel's Puppets. I'm sorry. That was a really random reference to a video we watched today.
And you're never going to understand that, so whatever.
Shout out to Lindsay Ellis.
Okay, so, yeah, that's pretty much the whole brand thing. And it is interesting visually, sort of.
But it's whatever. Confusing if you it don't is, know what you're looking at. It is, and
honestly, there are a whole lot of prophetic things that never come to fruition. So I'm just saying. All right.
Wait, I thought you said Croatian.
Fruition. Shall we go to King's Landing?
Sure. No, so Tyrion and Jaime are talking, but Jaime's depressed about his hand, as always. And Tyrion says, the dwarf, the cripple, and the mother of madness. So funny.
Yeah.
Tyrion suggests Jaime train with Bronn. Bronn and Jaime train near the ocean with sparring swords, and it's fun.
Bronn is awesome. Yeah. And he's
like to mention, at some point in this series, Bronn and the lady, Lena Headey, who play, is it Headey or Headey?
I don't know.
I feel like I always thought it
was Headey. So
I thought Lena Headey. I don't know. Lena. They were dating at some point.
Yes.
So good for them. No wonder they used sparring swords. They had to fight over.
Well, but things did not go well. They were never allowed to be in a scene together because I think they might have killed each other.
Well, that doesn't really track for what happens later on, but sure. Varys talks to Tyrion about Cersei knowing about Shay. They're at the wedding breakfast getting gifts. Joffrey and Margaery are. And
this says Cersei, Hedy, by the way.
Hedy, got it. Cersei points out Shay to Tywin, and he says to bring her to him before the wedding. Tyrion then gives Joffrey a book, like a history of some of the kings or whatever. Yes.
And Joffrey's like, a book? How nice.
A book? Wait, that was very Enchanted coded. The very beginning of Enchanted where Morgan gets a book and she's like, a book?
Yeah, no.
So
but anyway, so Joffrey, it's a time for wisdom, blah blah blah. He says the right stuff.
Sophie was so confused by that too. Yeah. Like Sophie was like, "Wait, what happened?" And I'm just
is he suddenly okay?
No, he's not. He's worse than ever. And then Tywin gives him
Natalie. Do you want me to do this? It's okay.
No. This is funnier for me later on. And I will remember this. Maybe not all of the specific references, but I will remember this. Then Tywin gives Joffrey the other Valyrian steel sword because that's exactly what that dictator needs. And then Joffrey chops the book up with the sword. He also calls the sword Widow's Wail. Then Shay, before the wedding, Shay goes to Tyrion and he sends her away to Pentos. And Sophie said, is he finally going to get rid of her? And I was like,
oh, please, oh, please.
And I was like, yes, asterisk.
So, yeah, we've got Joffrey and Margaery's
wedding.
Margaery's wedding. And so it actually is pretty. Joffrey.
I like her dress.
Yeah.
Her hair's a bit much, but I like it.
Yeah, it works for this. Joffrey gives a little, oh, hey, you know, we're all excited to be getting married. Margaery.
He gives the speech before the kiss. He's like, with this kiss, I pledge my troth or some shit.
Yeah,
it's just so funny that he took that moment.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Margaery's just standing there like,
yeah. And so he kisses Margaery. Margaery's now queen. Aletta and Tyrion Tywin discussed the cost of the wedding. Tywin is worried. Tyrion is worried because Bran, you know, did not make sure that Shay got onto the ship in the way that he wanted him to.
Look at the top note. I don't know why I autocorrected that to me. It says they have the wedding face. feast.
No, but feast, whatever. Yeah. So the feast.
Bronn saw Shay get on the ship and left. And
he sees her go to the ship, but he did not clarify whatever. She got on.
Bronn's just like, get over it, Tyrion, she's gone. And then there's this great line from Bronn about, now go drink until you feel like you did the right thing.
Yeah.
So that's what you should do. Then Elena apologizes to Sansa about the red wedding. She's like really touchy-feely, like touching her hair,
yeah,
and touching her face. It's just, it's very, it's more touchy-feely than she usually is.
And then we have the fucking Reigns of Castamere.
I was about to say, I said, it's the Reigns of Castamere at a wedding again. And then, but it's cut off. So yeah, it's funny.
No, it happens again though.
Then Joffrey and Marjorie announced that the food will not eaten, like the leftovers, will be donated to the poor.
There's new Tommen in the background.
Yes, there's new Tommen in the background. He was the Lannister cousin.
Right.
I love him, actually, in the scene later on. Like,
yeah,
it's
he
great.
Gives good reactions.
Oberyn makes eyes at Loras while he's making out with Alaria. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Loras runs into Jaime. And then there's this great exchange of, because you'll never marry her, says Jamie. And then Laura says, and neither will you.
Yeah, exactly.
Brienne goes to Marjorie and gives her congratulations. And Cersei gets jealous of Brienne and says that Brienne loves Jamie, and Brienne doesn't deny it, which is weird.
Yeah.
And
no, it's not weird.
It's not weird, but
Jamie, she loves guys.
Yeah, who she can't have.
Basically.
Anyway, Cersei tells Pycelle to send the leftovers to the hounds rather than the poor because he's a creep and she caught him in the act.
Right, and Pycelle's like, but the queen said, she's like, I'm the queen regent. Queen regent, you know, gets to do what she wants.
Yeah, but you need to stop using that.
Yeah.
And so, then Oberyn introduces Ilaria to Tywin and Cersei, and things get awkward extremely quickly.
Oberyn taunts them. And
yeah,
taunts
it's like,
Cersei.
Yeah, we don't bust your children.
Yeah, and your daughter's with us. Just in case you forgot, she's basically a hostage. Got that? Good.
Well, more like we don't treat people badly.
Unlike you,
unlike
evil
you,
people who kill
we
children.
Can if you push us. Yeah. And then Joffrey has some small people jokingly acted out the War of the Five Kings.
Oh, kind of you say small people. That's helpful.
Yeah,
I was
so
thinking
too.
Midgets, but okay.
Anyway, you never know who's listening, Mom. I'm sorry if that offended you. I'm trying to be as delicate as possible. People with dwarfism.
Yes.
Renly's dwarf. I don't like that. Renly, the actor playing Renly, is writing. The actor within the realm of Game of Thrones playing Renly is writing Morris.
He is pretending to be Renly.
The guy pretending to be Renly is writing Loras. The guy pretending to be Stannis is writing Melisandre.
Yeah.
And then they take off Rob's head off. They take off his head in really poor taste right in front of Sansa. Things go slow. Yeah. And then he, like, the one who plays Joffrey, like, dry humps, like, the head. I hate that.
It's meant to be.
It's
because because Joffrey didn't get to serve the actual head of her brother to her.
So he did this instead. And he's laughing maniacally and spewing out his drink. And it's just like, it's awful.
And everyone's basically sitting there almost silent.
Yeah. Then Tyrion insults Joffrey about, hey, well, if only it matched your amazing prowess in the field.
Which I've seen firsthand.
Then Joffrey pours his wine on Tyrion. Joffrey makes Tyrion his cupbearer and humiliates him and makes him tries to make him kneel. And then there's this great line from Margaery trying to defuse the tension of, oh, look, the pie! It's just so funny. And so they cut the pie open with the Valyrian steel sword. The doves fly out, except some of them get decapitated by the sword. And I'm like, I'm never, ever eating that pie. Ever.
I'm not eating.
And then Joffrey... he's like, hey, no, Uncle, you can't leave, because Tyrion and Sansa are trying to leave because they're just over it.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, Uncle, you can't leave. You need to give me some wine. This pie is really dry. And so Tyrion brings him a cup of wine, and then he's trying to get away with Sansa. And then Joffrey drinks the wine, and then he starts choking.
Right.
And then it's very clear that he's been poisoned.
Yes.
And
Joffrey is like, oh, my God, the king's choking.
Yeah. And Sansa escapes with the fool, and Cersei thinks Tyrion killed him with a horror movie rendition of Reigns of Castamere in the background.
So the way this plays out, and it is kind of interesting, the first person to Joffrey is Cersei, and that's followed by Jaime.
No, it's Jaime first.
Anyway.
And then Cersei pushes him out of the way.
Yeah, and you know, she's holding his head, and the makeup people,
ooh,
Jack
it's so good.
This Death
is so good. So
good.
And cheers to Jack Gleason.
Cheers to Jack Gleason.
You made us hate you from start to finish.
Exactly. He was, this performance was incredible. And so, yeah, he's dead. He's pointing. He's like, his hand is pointing toward where Tyrion has the cup from the wine, because I guess Tyrion went to the cup of wine like, hey, was there something in there? And
then Reigns of Castamere horror version comes on, yeah. Like, it's so good. I recognize there's the Reigns of Castamere, and I was like, that's so good.
Yeah. And so
then it all goes quiet. Well, it all goes quiet, and then Cersei's like, my son, my boy, Will! And sorry.
I was thinking more like my boy from Goblet of Fire, but okay.
My son, my boy! I remember we made fun of it because it sounded too much like Will!
Stop it. Okay.
Great. Anyway, so Tyrion's being blamed.
Yes. So, what were your best parts?
Joffrey dying. Podrick, for being present. Getting rid of Shay and the ghost of Sean Bean.
Oh God, I didn't give credit to the ghost. Sean, I should have.
Oh,
Here's what I have. I'm sorry. And it's very limited, but Joffrey's performance, Jack Lewis's performance,
sure.
And Sophie Turner's performance in this. She is this mask of, how do I get the fuck out of here? And it is a brilliant, brilliant performance.
I agree. But also, I would like to mention that Tom, the new Tommen actor,
yeah,
the moment I wanted to mention was when Joffrey comes over and pours the wine on Tyrion. And Tommen's sitting right next to Tyrion.
Yeah.
And he just is kind of like staring forward, just kind of like ashamed of what his brother's doing. And because like, he doesn't like his brother. I doubt it. And we find out later on how he felt about his brother. But
right. During the small people war, he's laughing a little bit, and then he realizes maybe I shouldn't be.
As soon as like the decapitation happens, he's like, oh, yeah, no, maybe I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry.
This wasn't funny. Sorry. I think, again, you get that sense. And it's really, again, I think the direction was terrific for that.
Oh, yeah.
Those two performances were by far the really best good things of this episode for me.
Really good.
Worst parts.
Selyse. Joffrey being a dick. The reenactment of the war. Three-eyed Raven bullshit in Cersei.
You forgot Melisandre.
Fuck!
And Tywin, who is a complete dick in this episode, too. He is dickish to a whole bunch of people.
I'll leave him off the list, but no, in spirit, though.
Right, no, Tywin is a dick partly because he's has in the past reined Joffrey in, especially, you know, like in public.
Mm.
And here we have these public diminishments of both Sansa and Tyrion, and he does nothing. And he finds it funny. He is laughing at this small person war. Mm. He thinks it's hilarious. I'm like, no, that is just fuck shit. You should be better than that. You're not. You suck. So I've got Joffrey, Melisandre, Selyse, Cersei, and Tywin.
Okay.
What grade did you give this episode?
A minus?
Yeah, I have A minus, B plus. It, you know, this it is not the Red Wedding.
It's not the Red Wedding. And maybe it's a B plus.
Yeah, it's on the fence for me.
I'll give it a B plus.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. But I feel like it is a really good episode. There's some amazing performances, it's not.
It's just not on the same level.
It's not. I think maybe it's because we really don't love Joffrey or the Lannisters.
Well, I mean, yeah.
So that could have a lot to do with it. We are, as we have pointed out before, Stark people. So, or at least I certainly am.
I am too.
Yeah. So
don't discount me.
I'm not discounting you. I am. We are.
Oh God! I just thought of this: the fact that Melisandre is technically on a mission from Gad.
She's creepy. yeah, she might be the nun. You know. You can get the money. So yeah. In any case, we are looking forward to sharing more of season four, because honestly, this opens up very quick. There's a lot of action early.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember what else happened. What happens in this
season? Me neither. So
I'm
you're going to be watching with us, people.
Well, since I know that Sophie's not going to be able to, wasn't going to be able to watch the rest of at least this season with me because we're on Christmas break right now. I tried to give her the best recap possible of seasons 4 and 5. And it was hard.
They run together.
Yeah, they run together a lot. And yeah. I was like trying to go back here to, I was like, yeah, maybe this happens in season 5. I don't remember.
I'm not sure. Hey, we're not sure. So we're going to be sharing with you as we go along. And we hope that you join us. And
cheers. Cheers.